Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 3 p.m., right? Like, my name is Mike Stevenson with Brimming Brand, and I can't believe how many wonderful speakers have been speaking throughout the day. Like, one of the best benefits of going towards the end of the day is I get to hear all these amazing speakers. And one of the worst things about being at the end of the day is that I have to live up to all those amazing speakers. So it's going to be a little tough, but I'm going to do the best that I can. So if you have any quips for after this or any advice on speaking, by all means, I'll take whatever I can get. But today we are talking about winning with purpose-driven branding. And I know that we had another gentleman by the name of Davos. Like, he killed it when he talked about branding and the psychology behind it. But now I'm going to talk about a different approach in regards to branding and how you can always win in regards to your branding. So some of the things that I want to make sure that you guys get out of it is understanding what winning is to you. Also, understanding the importance of storytelling and identifying your role in what that story is, and then evolving your understanding of branding and awaken your true story, right? So those are the things that I want you to get out of this conversation. So I want to start off with how sometimes, like, when you look at a brand, you automatically get a feeling, right? So, like, if you think of McDonald's when you were younger, it was always top of mind, right? So you knew the branding, you knew the colors, you knew the smell of McDonald's. Like, every time you saw it, you would, like, go, I know I would, go to my parents and be like, hey, can we stop? Whether I was hungry or not, I still wanted to go to McDonald's, you know what I mean? And that's a level of branding that is always going to win, because it's going to evoke some type of emotion based off of your experiences, right? So when we talk about winning with branding, we're talking about having that narrative, whether it's tangible in that narrative or whether it's psychological or whether it's you talking. But there's this famous guy, he's an author, and this is probably the only thing that I'm going to ask you to write down. His name is Donald Miller, and he has a book called The Story Brand. And part of what we're going to talk about today is his model, because essentially what he's saying is that every brand works like a book or a movie, right? Where you have the hero, and then from the hero, you know, the hero has a problem. Something happened in life which caused some type of commotion, right? Whether good, bad, and something happened. So within that, that hero then meets a guy, right? Or a guide, I should say, that has a solution to that problem. That guy then gives him or her a framework, right, to prevent either catastrophe or to win in one way, shape, or form. And what we see is a lot of people or a lot of companies or a lot of solopreneurs, they position themselves always as the hero. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and all they do is talk about themselves, right? They're like, I. But they never really get a chance to do the major component of winning, and that's listening. Listening is the key component to a winning brand, right? So when people make it about themselves or a brand makes it about themselves, right? If you ever talk to somebody and they keep pushing their solutions for everything, like one shop fits all, which doesn't really exist, right? But they keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and it gives you a bad taste in your mouth, regardless of whether or not their solution works for you or whether it doesn't work for you. For whatever reason, they're not listening to you. They just give you this one cookie cutter approach and they're trying to shove it down your throat. And that's not a good representation of a brand, right? But what happens when you take a step back, you breathe, and you're actually listening to the other person? right? You're listening to what they're going through. You're listening to what their heartburns are or their heartaches are. And then you find out, can I really help that person? Right? So when you build your brand beyond the logo, beyond the aesthetics, what exactly are you helping that person avoid? How can you, instead of being the hero, be the Geppetto? If you're thinking about Pinocchio, like the little cricket that sits on the shoulder, right? Like that's what you want to be as the business owner. You don't need to be the hero. Your job, our jobs as entrepreneurs or as CEOs or as whatever, is to make our clients, our customers, the hero. We're trying to get them to win in whatever way, shape, form that looks like, or we're trying to avoid them from failing or hitting a catastrophe, right? A doctor, for example, when they have a brand, or the reason why people like to go to a specific doctor is because they get the results, right? They get the results, or maybe they have the best mannerism and they get the results, but there's something that people are saying about them that triggers, right? The aha moment for other people to refer them to get them to go and be a part of this brand or be a part of that person's practice. Your goal as an entrepreneur, if you're ever looking for people to getting in the door, or you feel like you're having issues with people getting in the door, is you have to look through that narrative and find out exactly where you're fitting in. And are you actually telling the right story? Or are you even positioned right within that story? For example, when I first started, I came straight out of corporate and I didn't really know how to run a business, right? I didn't understand. I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't really get it. I really didn't. And I knew I didn't really want to sell, but I didn't know how to approach. I didn't know how to price. I didn't know how to do anything. And I really didn't know how to brand. So it was a really rocky start, and I couldn't figure out. I was like, I want more clients. I want more clients. I want more clients. I want more paying clients. I want bigger clients. And I couldn't figure out what the issue was. And then every time that I would get a client, I would be so desperate to get that client, whether or not they fit, whether or not anything. I just wanted a client. And I figured I'll just figure it out from there. And it always, or 9 times out of 10, it turned out really bad. And I couldn't figure out why. Like, well, what am I doing? And after asking, people would be like, hey, like, what went wrong? Like, what did I do wrong? And I finally took a step back and took a breath. Like, right now, I'm taking a breather. And I took that breath. They told me. And I said, well, what if I did this? Or why don't we do this? And then all of a sudden, that dialogue, me instead of trying to be the hero and actually literally helping the client, they were like, oh, well, why didn't you do it this way from the beginning? I don't know. I don't know. Right? So listening and preventing yourself from being the hero, because we don't need to be the hero. We want to make sure that our clients, our customers are the centerpiece. They're the focal point. That's the main component, right? So humbling yourself, a level of humbleness, right? Little humble pie. And then the ability to actually listen to what people are telling you, what your clients are telling you, past clients, forward-thinking clients, right? And building your brand based off of that. Your colors, your everything. Once you understand what winning looks like for your clients, then you'll understand what winning looks like for you. I'll say it one more time. Once you understand what winning looks like for your clients, then you'll understand what winning looks like for you. Now you can build logos and you can build, aesthetics that fit within that framework, right? Because that actually makes sense. Because now you're building a brand that's working for you, not against you. And you're building a brand that aligns with what you believe in, but also what aligns with what your clients want to see or feel. That's how you really build a good brand. And when we talk about storytelling, and this is why I said it's really important that you understand where you fit within the story. The most important piece is that you understand that you are not the hero of the story. And I keep saying that because I want to drill that home. You're not the hero of the story. You're not the hero of the story. Your client is definitely and should be and will always be the hero of the story. Period. Right? So when we think about what Devos was saying before with the psychology of branding, he's 100% right. And some of you would be like, why do you keep mentioning Devos? Like, he's your competitor. He's not a competitor. What he is that he's a smart branding guy that understands the importance of storytelling. And me, as a brander marketer, right, needs to be able to acknowledge when people are doing or saying something right. Why? Why would I not go against the competitor? Why would I bad talk and why would I omit it? Because that's not true to my brand. My brand is service forward and to acknowledge truth and to acknowledge competency and to acknowledge it is what it is. If somebody knows something or they said something or I want to say something that's similar to it, I listen and I can acknowledge that, man, that guy, he got it right on the head, right? Because that's the kind of person that I am. That's the kind of brand integrity that I have, right? For my business, right? And for myself. And that's the type of language, and that's the type of person that I want my kids to be, right? That's how I want them to talk too. That's how I want them to be. So when the other piece is really understanding your why, right? My why isn't necessarily, it is my kids. That's why I do what I do. That's why most of you do what you do. But you probably wanted to do what you do well before you had kids. So that's not really your why. You need to really understand your why. So, for example, my why is I grew up in an area in the Bronx, New York, BX all day, where, I grew up in a middle family house with my mom and dad. And unfortunately, my dad died when I was 13. And I went from middle class to just as poor can get. And I remember all the people that discounted me and thought that I was never going to amount to anything. And I started working at the age of 13. I wanted to make sure that no matter what anybody else thought of me, I knew that I could do things and I knew that I could help people, right? So we found out, or I found out earlier in life, that I had a knack for doing events and doing marketing and doing all this stuff. And I had the opportunity only because of the people in my in a very close-knit circle. And even to this day, like my current business partner, the same thing. When people were tossing me out or thinking less of me, because they know who you know. They know you from a certain point. And when you transition, that's another story. But these people in my life, they weren't trying to be a hero. They were trying to make sure that I was the best version of myself and gave me the opportunity. I wasn't a statistic. I have friends that got shot in the back of the head. I'll never forget. And if it wasn't for these specific teachers or these specific people in my life, there would be a good chance that I wouldn't be here with you right now. So my why is to lead with service and to make sure that I help people, I help the underdog get to a better place, build a strong brand, build strong foundations, and be that advocate for them. I don't necessarily need to be in the limelight to do that because I know how it feels. And I know that if it wasn't for the people in the background for me, I wouldn't be able to be a good dad. I wouldn't be able to be a good business partner. I wouldn't be able to be a good husband. That's my why, right? And that fuels me and that allows me to look at things differently and to be able to listen to my clients or even prospective clients or even nonprofit, like whatever it is, even if it's a person just asking me a question, it gives me the ability to listen and to try and pay it forward. Now we're still talking about winning with Brandon, right? So this vision, this resilience that I have, I pay it forward. And what I mean by that in the internal context is every person that works within my organization understands this mission. They understand the grit and they share that level, right? L level of grit, the level of integrity, that level of service first. So when we go out or we go to help a client, they're exuding that. I don't necessarily have to be there. And my brand still lives past me. That's how you win, is your brand, your integrity, your everything can outlive you. And that's hard. That's hard for solopreneurs. That's hard for entrepreneurs because part of, being in this game is like you didn't want to work for somebody else. But when you're building something bigger, you're building something better, it has to be what? Replicatable, right? Like you have to be able to replicate this without you being involved. And that's a strong brand. But in order to do that, you need to have people that embody, right? Because nobody's going to do or feel the way that you do about your business. However, if you have the strong enough branding and you have a strong enough foundation and you have a strong enough mission statement and you are inviting that level of energy towards you and with you, right? And as long as they know that we are doing this together, you have a strong chance to build something bigger than you, to build a legacy. And that's what I know a lot of the people on this call or a lot of people listening are really looking for. They're looking to build something bigger and something better. And this is how you win in branding. So I'm not knocking anybody that doesn't follow this, or I know there's some people that are like, listen, I'm a solopreneur for a reason. I don't want anybody else involved. That's great. What I'm talking about is scalability within your branding and making sure your brand wins. This is why I have not talked about, the physical piece of it, right? Like logos and stuff like that. Everybody knows that about branding. But I wanted to use this as an example. If anybody has been to New York City, there's a place called Katz's Deli. Katz's is the, and I'm a foodie, so if you see me get like really, really happy about this, it's because I'm really, really hungry, to be quite honest. Katz's Deli has the most amazing pastrami sandwiches. I mean, like world renowned, mwah, right? But it's this little hole in the wall. So how does everybody in the world know about Katz's Deli? Do they have like the most beautiful logo? No. Do they have the most incredible messaging? No, but they do have the most incredible experience, and their product speaks for itself, right? When you eat their sandwich, it's amazing. So what do other people talk about? Oh, you got to go here, you got to go here, you got to go here. They haven't done anything to their logo in decades, but their brand is so strong that it has become a destination in New York. If you go to New York City and you don't go to Katz's Deli, and you're not a vegetarian, because if you're a vegetarian, I get it. But if you're not a vegetarian and you don't go to Katz's Deli, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You need to go because it's delicious. And now I'm super, super hungry. But the whole purpose of mentioning this is because I don't even know if Katz is a person, but the brand has lived for 60, 80 years. It's been around for forever, right? So if Katz was the name of the person, that guy is long gone. But the brand still lives, right? That's the level of branding that is that is should be everybody's goal, is to have a brand that strong, right? You have other brands too, like we were talking about movies, right? So if you looked at Star Wars, how did it get so many trilogies? How did it get like, epilogues and all the rest of that stuff? Because the story was so good and people could attach themselves to those stories. That like people, like even when it died out, like when they finished like years ago, like in the 70s, they still brought it back, right? They still brought it back and people were still dying and people are still talking about it. And like even some of the characters, they're so well built. They're not the stars, right? They're not talking about the stars. You're not always talking about Luke. You're talking about all the other characters, right? By the way, I'm not a Star Wars fan, like that big of a Star Wars fan, so forgive me if I'm misplaced, but Luke is not the one that they always talk about. They talk about all the other characters because they're so good. Like those stories, you can reflect those stories. Like you can see yourself within those stories. They do something for you, not necessarily for the actor, right? The actor was feeling it. They felt they were in control of that particular client. And then boom, when they went on screen, you felt it. And then you gravitated towards it. And now you're part of the story, right? You feel like you're part of the story. Something happens to the character, you get upset. Or I don't know if you guys, well, my wife is definitely into those British shows, right? All different levels of branding. But what really, really hits is the story and how it doesn't necessarily relate for me, but it relates to you. That's the power of storytelling. And that's how you win with your brand. So, just to rehash, understanding what winning is to you. If you are in it just for the money, that's not necessarily going to work. You have to understand what the win is to you. And to be honest, the win is to you what the win is for the client. Because the client, if you can get them the results that they are looking for, they will pay, 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 pay. The other piece, the importance of storytelling, identifying your role in the story. Separate your ego, right? Because all entrepreneurs have an ego. Separate that ego and make sure that you put the client first. Once you do that, you win. And evolve your understanding and branding and awaken your true story brand. Client first. Listen. Your greatest asset as a person is the ability to listen and to empathize with that particular person. Once you listen and you can be able to identify exactly what's important to them, then you win. If your brand and your ability to listen hits those notes, you will have a winning brand. And because you're listening, you are moving with intent. That's really all I got for you guys. So I see that I have like 2, 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. And I love that. And then we're going to end with the music. But again, my name is Mike Stevenson. I own Brimmen Brand. I am partner, CEO, CMO. You know how it goes when you're an entrepreneur. You wear so many different hats. But if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at brimxbrand.com. And I'm happy to talk to anyone. So we can just have a nice little conversation. And hopefully, if you're in New York City, we could also meet at Katz's Deli. So that's all I got. God bless you all, and thank you for the opportunity to talk today.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.